Okay, for real. Okay, we did not go through this one last time, which was binary hex test. So I'm going to start there. We just got to the point where we realized you didn't remember hex. Does anybody see what I've got wrong on the address? Thank you. Okay, so this is the one that we looked at briefly before where we give the hex. What is this one? Just to refresh. It happened to come up with a good one, so what is it? Pardon? But then you have to get that in hex. B, right. Because 10 is A, 11 is B. Okay, so notice it came up and it said figure out the hexadecimal for these binary numbers. Then it showed the binary numbers. It gave me a place to enter the answer and a place to click to say that I was submitting the answer. Okay? So I put the answer in here. I click B. It comes up, and the message I get is, yes, you get it. And then it shows me another problem, and I put it in. Okay? So on this one, I'm going to answer wrong. So that you say, and then it comes back and says maybe next time, and then gives you another problem. Okay, so those are the responses that you can get from this. Okay. Okay, let me go back and take a picture of that. Okay, so I come in, and this one I actually embedded in some HTML, so I put in the body and the H1 and the header up at the top. You're not required to do that. You can just go to PHP. And I didn't put doctype out there, HTML. So one thing I also used in this one was BG color beige, which is the old way of doing CSS. And I did that for some reason here. Okay, then I put out in hex, in HTML, the title. And then I went down and I said, if array key exists. And I have a similar one to this where I said if is set. So basically all I'm asking for, this code, and you can do it a variety of different ways, but that code is looking to see if this is the first time through. It's looking to see if there's anything in answer and anything in real answer. Okay, answer is the user's entry. Real answer is the calculated answer. Okay, so I've got the right answer, which is the real answer, and I've got my answer. Okay, if they exist, then I put them into the fields. If they don't exist, this is a first-time run. And that tells me it's a first-time run, and if I want to act differently in a first-time run, I can. But that tells me that it's the first time. Okay, then I drop down and I say, do these three functions in order. First, do the start check function. When that's complete, do the print binary construction. When that's complete, do the get answer. Okay, so I've set up those functions and I'm executing them in order. Now, actually, some of them call other functions, so I've got functions calling functions going on that you'll also see in this. Okay, so I come down and it goes and it says do start check. And remember, you do not execute a function because you hit it on a drop down. You execute a function because you call it. Okay, so I am calling the function, and the function start check, I'm setting up two global variables. Okay, so I'm setting up my answer and real answer. And they're set up as global variables, so then I can ask about them because I've set them up. So I said, if my answer is equal to quote, quote, in other words, if there's nothing in my answer, then that tells me that it is the first time through. Because up here at the top, if there was a post entry available, I put my answer in the dollar sign my answer. So I had something in it. Okay, if there was a post, and the post, or I could have coded this with a get, the post or the get come when I ask the user for information. Okay, so I said, if my answer equals spaces, basically, then I write out, figure out the hexadecimal for these numbers, which was what I saw when I went in on the first run. Else, if my answer is equal to real answer, I put in, you got it. Else, I put maybe next time. So those three messages that we saw are all coming from this stat check. Okay? This one is not taking in the answer from a separate HTML. It is taking it in from code that's in this program. Okay? So if I have something in my answer and real answer, and they're equal, you've got it. Otherwise, I'm doing print maybe next time. Okay, so then the next thing, that completes start check. So the next thing I do is I go and do print binary. Okay, so print binary is going to put up those things that showed the zeros and ones. My lovely artwork there that I showed the zeros and ones. Okay, so if you go back and look quickly at the list, there's binary0.ping and binary1.ping. And so those are the two that show the number. I can either show the 0 or the 1. Okay, so those are my two. So back to the code. So down here in print show binary, the first thing I did was say, which? Wait a minute, it's not show binary, it's print binary I went to, right. I went the wrong place. Okay, so I went to print binary. And print binary says, okay, in the cards, I want to get a random number from 2 to 4. And that's how you do random numbers in PHP. So I'm telling it I want a random number in the range from 2 to 4. Okay? If cards equals 2, then I go and I do the function called toCards. Okay? So if I got a random number of 2, I'm only going to show 2 cards up there. else, if I got a random number of three, I'm going to go to the subroutine called three cards. Else, I'm going to go to the subroutine called four cards. Oh, the subroutine, I should have said function. I'm going to the functions. So I've got a two-card function, a three-card function, and a four-card function, depending on the random number that I came up with. Okay? So, let's say I came up with two cards. I go down to two cards, and I need to now put up those two cards. Okay? So I put in a global real answer, because real answer is what I'm calculating here. And I say first, okay, do a random number that is either 0 or 1, or store that in choice 1. And now do a random number that is 0 or 1, and store it in choice 2. Okay? So I've got either a 0 or a 1 in choice 2. Then I said, okay, now go and do the function called show binary and do it twice. The first time, send in choice 1. The second time, send in choice 2. Okay? So I go up to show binary. And I probably should have been taking pictures of this, but I wasn't. Go up to show binary. Okay, show binary, I am passing it. Okay, I'm passing it choice 1 or choice 2. Okay, the first time I'm passing it choice 1, the next time I'm passing it choice 2. Choice 1 and choice 2 are going to be either 0 or 1. So they could both be zeros, they can both be 1s, they can be 0, 1, they can be 1, 0. But I'm passing it over there. Okay. So now I go up, and when I called it, I said pass choice 1 or pass choice 2. Choice 1 or choice 2 are received as dollar sign which. So I'm receiving them into a variable called which. And then I say, okay, I want to print. And I want to print. My image source is going to be binary dollar sign which. So if I sent it a 0, it's going to be binary 0.png. And if I sent it a 1, it's going to be binary 1.png. Okay? So I am printing out the first image, and then I'll do it again, and I haven't broken out to go to another line, so we'll print it right next to it, and I will print the second image. Okay? So I'm printing two images right next to each other. And I'm using that here doc, which is a good way of handling that kind of thing. So I've said image source equals binary which, and I set a height and a width, and it will then come out as binary dollar sign zero, binary zero or binary one. Okay, and again, when we went back and looked, those are the two images that I have, binary zero and binary one. And they have a .png. So I'm basically telling it, I want the word binary, then I want you to substitute in either a 0 or a 1, and then get that particular image. Okay? And while I'm at it, I'm going to take a picture of this top because I didn't do it, and I can move it around. Okay, so I'm back down here. I have just done the show binary, and now I am looking to see what the choices are. So if the choice 1 is equal to a 1, and choice 2 is equal to a 1, then the real answer is 3. Okay, because a binary 1, 1
is equal to a hexadecimal 3. If the choice is 1, 1, the choice 1 is 1, rather, and choice 2 is not 1, then it has to be 0. So it is 1, 0, and 1, 0 is a hexadecimal 2. Else, if choice 2 equals a 1, and real answer equals a 1, so else, if choice 1 isn't a 1, this else tells me that choice 1 is a 0. So now I have to check choice 2. If it's a 1, then the real answer is 1. If choice 2 is a 0, the real answer is 0. Okay? So I've come up with the real answers for all of the 2-card possibilities. If I have 3-card possibilities, then I am doing choice 1, choice 2, choice 3. So I am looking and I'm saying I put up 3 cards. Any one of them can be a 0 or 1. I'm going to do a random choice to determine what they are. I'm going to go and then show those cards. And then I'm going to check for real answer. So if choice 1 equals 1, and choice 2 equals 1, and choice 3 equals 1, then I've got 1, 1, 1, which is a hexadecimal 7. Because I've turned on the 4, the 2, and the 1, so that's a hexadecimal 7. If choice 3 isn't a 1, it must be a 0, so it is a hexadecimal 6. Okay. The else attaches to choice 2, so I know choice 1 is a 1, choice 2 is now a 0, and I need to check choice 3. And if it's a 1, I've got 101, which is a 5. Otherwise, I've got 100, which is a 4. And I go through and do it again. Okay. On 4 cards, I have 4 cards come in. At this point, I got sick of simple ifs. So I said, okay, if choice 1 equals a 1, choice 2 equals a 1, choice 3 equals a 1, choice 4 equals a 1, then the answer is F. Else, 1, 1, 1, 0 is going to be an E. Else, 1101 is going to be a D, and I went through and figured those all out. Okay. So all of this was to get the real answer. So now I finished that. So I finished the print binary. Okay. And the print binary put the cards out there and figured out what the answer should be. So I now know what the answer should be. So now I come down and it says, do get answer. And get answer is down near the bottom. So there's get answer. And I want to print something out, so I did a gear doc and I said print. And I said, okay, convert the binary to hexadecimal, which is there. And this is a form method of post. And my answer is where you're typing in the my answer. Okay. Made it go away? Okay. So my answer, I'm going to fill in the input box for my answer, which is what I did. Then I also have a hidden. So it doesn't show, but I'm hiding the real answer. And the reason is I'm going to hit the submit button. And since I do not have any action up here, since I haven't told it where to go, it reloads this page. And so when it reloads this page, it's starting out fresh. And I need it to know what the real answer is. Okay? So I'm sending up, I'm taking in my answer. Then I have to submit it. But since the page is going to start over again, I'm also sending it the real answer. Okay, so when I hit the submit, it starts the page all over again. It determines that these things exist, that the post exists. So it puts my answer into dollar sign my answer. It puts real answer into dollar sign real answer. And it goes down here to start check. My answer isn't equal to spaces because I put something in. So now I check. Is my answer equal to real answer? If it is, then I say you got it. If it doesn't equal real answer, I say maybe next time. Okay. There's got to be some questions.
So no matter what, it's going to keep going.
It's going to keep going until
you
get just leave.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't the kind of thing where I have to stop it. I can just stop it by closing the screen, or closing that, you know, the place where it's playing. So I didn't put any, do you want to play agains or not? I certainly could have, but it didn't seem worth it. One more click thing to do. You know, when I was working with both an HTML and a PHP page, then I had to go back to the HTML page, so I would have, but this has the HTML in, I mean, I'm sorry, the take-in of the answer as part of this page. This is complicated enough that I really wish there were some questions. Because it's, did it make sense or you just don't know where you lost?
I'm looking at it, it makes sense. Like, I understand how you did it. I get the whole four cards and two cards.
And then the key thing is down here, when I said, okay, but I'll convert the binary to hex, and then I have a form, and the form is going, so that little part down at the bottom is a form, and I'm entering in my answer. But I also want to keep track of real answer when I go back up. And so the way to keep track of real answer is just to make it hidden. Okay, so in the previous things, I figured out what real answer is. Now my user has given me their answer, but I've already figured out what real answer is, so I want to send that back too, so it has both of them to compare. So I send that back as well, and again, since I didn't tell it to go anyplace else, it reloads the page. Okay, so if I didn't, you know, in previous things we've been sending it to a page lots of times. After we have the form, we send it to a PHP page. We have the form in HTML, and we send it to a PHP page. When you don't send it anywhere, then it goes to, reloads the page. Okay. So it's reloading the page, and when I hit submit, it is sending up my answer, and it is sending up real answer. So when it reloads the page, it is now saying, okay, if there is the post, take and put my answer into dollar sign my answer, take and put real answer in here, and now go down and do the evaluation as to whether they got it right or not. Now, if I do this, and I don't put an answer in. Okay, I just say submit answer. It comes out with that introductory thing because I didn't put an answer in. Okay, so it comes out with figure out because the answer is nothing. It's spaces. Answer is quote, quote. So it comes out with the figure out the hexadecimal and basically acts like it's the first run through. So if I don't put the answer in, it acts like it's the first run through. If I put in the answer, so this one would be 6, and hit submit, then it comes back and says, yes, you've got it. And if I put in the wrong answer, so I put in 7 here, and hit submit, it comes back and says, maybe next time. That's supposed to be positive reinforcement, right? Instead of saying you got it wrong?
Maybe next time.
So anyway, those three things come up based on the comparison of my answer and real answer, and I sent real answer back in hidden form. Hidden means it's just not displayed. No questions? Okay. Now we are going to try to figure out, because I messed up, what we're going to do next. So if you go up here, I did not post the next thing. I didn't put up what it was. So you're going to have to go in and take the address that you had for this one and change it to... update function PHP. Okay, so right up here, update function PHP and then slash and then record update 1A, okay. Yes, and it worked. So take the address that you had up there, and where I said function update or whatever, you're going to change that to update function PHP, and I'll post it tonight so it's there. But I just forgot update function PHP, and then record update 1A, okay PHP, and this is what you should see. Okay, so go ahead and change that, and hopefully it will bring up the program that you want to look at. Okay. So it says update function PHP slash record update 1A okay dot PHP. Okay, has everybody got it? Have you got it? No, you're going to put in my address.
Oh.
Okay, my address. I'm sorry. You got to put in my whole address. and then you can get to my version of it. And I'm... Actually, you know what? Let's go back to last semester and have you download it, because when I stop and think about it, if you put in my address and this is an update, God knows what's going to happen to my data. Okay, it's not going to be pretty. So, we're going to do something different. And that's why I should learn to, that's all right, I'm going to have you do something different anyway. Okay, so go down to go down on yours to previous semesters and go to spring 2017 159. And update function PHP zip. So that's what you want to do. So go to spring 2017. Okay. Previous semester. Go to previous semester. Then you can download. Just hit update function PHP zip. And then you can download the things you need, which is better than using my address. Then you have your own. Has everybody found this all right? Okay. And download update function PHP. And then open it and find the program you need. Okay, has everybody found it okay? Since I'm using the version that I put out 2017, this works beautifully. All right, has anybody not got it? Okay. And why did I close that? Who knows? Actually, couldn't update it because I have security on it. Update function PHP, record update 1AOK.php. Okay, so that's the one we're looking at. Okay, and that's what should be coming up. You should see enter drive ID, submit query. Okay, so how this one works is I put in, let's say, drive 300, okay, and I say submit query. And it comes up with the information about it, okay? And this is using the donor database, which you all presumably have, okay? Wait a minute. This is, I made this drive test. So actually, if you look in the things you downloaded, there's an example up above where I said create drive test from drive. Okay, there is a example up there that says create drive test. Create drive test, okay. And that goes in and does a create table as select asterisks from drive. So assuming that you have the donor database and the drive, then this is going to make you something called drive test, which you can use. Okay, has everybody got drive? Is anybody going to answer?
I
okay, does anybody have drive? Do you have it? Okay. So if you do this, run this program, which is in the others that you downloaded, it creates a new table called drive test, which is a copy of drive. And the reason I did that is so that I wouldn't mess up drive, because obviously an update allows you to change data. And I don't want to mess up drive. So I said, okay, I'm going to create a table called drive test. And then I'm actually going to run it. So if I come down here and open this back up again, what was the name of that? Somebody want to tell me the name?
Drive.
Huh? Drive test or something?
Are you trying to create a test?
No, I'm just... I'm looking for the name. Yeah, create drive test okay is the name. Right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to put in here, create drive test okay .php. Okay. And it's going to come back and tell me it already exists. If I go in to drive test and I change this to drive test 1, okay, and save it, and then re-execute this, it gives me drive test 1. Okay? So the data that's going into drive test that I have, that one up there, is just showing something about having read. The data is drive 100 has that information, drive 200 has that information, drive 300 has that information. Okay? And if you don't have the same things in your drive, then it's going to be slightly different, but that doesn't matter. And then I'm going back to it's record update, right? Okay. So record update 1A. Make that go away. Record update 1A shows this. It shows enter drive number and a submit. Okay, so I'm going to enter drive 200. And when I do that, it brings up the record. Okay, so when I do that, it brings up the record. And I can then make a change. So I'm going to say, all right, this year I'm going to change to 44, put a 4 there instead of a 3. I click on update and I say process. And it tells me that it has been updated. In order to see that again, I can put in the 200 and submit it, and you can see that it's changed from 3500 to 4500. So the update did happen. Okay? And this time, I can either hit update and process, or I can hit cancel because I really don't want to do anything, and it goes back to taking in the main page. Okay, so I am doing an update here. The only thing I'm allowing in this particular program is I'm allowing me to change the record. Okay. Now this one I attempted to be good on, and I hate it. But what I did is I put the curly brace out here, which I told you that most professionals do. And so I decided this was a big enough program, et cetera, that probably I should do it. So I've got the curly brace out to the side, as opposed to my preference, which is putting all curly braces on separate lines. I don't think I caved enough to move this curly brace up to right after first page. But a lot of people do that as well. Okay? But probably the vast majority of people put the curly brace on the same line as the if that I'm asking there. Whereas I would have put it on a separate line. Okay, so I'm saying if is set, then I'm going to go to first page. Okay, so if is set, I'm going to go to first page. If not is set, I'm sorry, I said is set. If not is set. So if the drive number, if nothing came in with the key, it's going to go to first page. Else, if the drive number has nothing in it, it's going to go to first page. Because remember I said when the post comes in, you've hit a submit button or something like that, and that shows in the posting. So to say that the posting isn't set would imply that you haven't hit a button. Okay? But if you haven't hit a button, then it's going to go to first page. And if drive ID is empty, it's going to go to first page. Okay, else it comes down and says, if, and I'm checking an action. So I have a bunch of else ifs going on here. And then I finally have else if down here, where I check and see if it was supposed to be an update, and all of that. Okay. So, when I put in the drive number, okay, so I've put in a drive number here of 300. And I say submit query. Okay, so it is in this form. Okay, here's the form. And I am putting in input, the name is going to be drive ID.
and the input type is going to be submit. So I said enter the drive ID, input type equals drive ID, and I am submitting.
So that's what that page is about. I have an input type of submit on it. And when I submit it, I am seeing all of the data. Okay? Now I am giving people the opportunity to update the data so they can go in and make changes to it and update it. So here I'm going to change last year's to 6,000, and I click on update, I click on process, and it comes back and says record 300 has been updated. Okay, so where did that happen? That happened here, and we'll trace through it as we go. But I'm just trying to show you what happens each time. This one, I have a post, and the action is update, because I clicked the update button. And if the action is update, then it takes the real ID, the drive name, the drive chair, last year, this year. And it does a link, and then it does an update. So I update, and I set the things equal to everything that I brought in. Okay. Now, what I didn't do on this is check and see anything. I just took everything that was on there. So when I submit 300, I am taking everything as it is when they enter the information in, and if they click an update, all of this stuff will be used to update. So I am going to rewrite everything. When I do the update, I'm taking whatever was typed in and I am rewriting it. Okay, so I'm not checking and saying, do you want to update this field? Do you want to update that field? Which is another way of doing updates. I'm just showing them the data that's out there and saying, okay, do you want to update? If you do, change the thing that you want to change and then submit it. Okay. So I say update. I say process, and it comes back and says that the record has been updated, okay? And you can see it down here where it says the record with the real ID has been updated. Okay, so that record has been updated. So, in this, the action, the point that I wanted to make is the action that I give it to do of action and cancel. Okay. So, when I do the update, again, if I do 300 and I say submit query, and now I'll change that back to 7,000 because that's what it was originally. There's two actions that I can take. The actions are update and the actions are cancel. So when I'm at the point that I'm ready to do an update, I ask the question, is the action equal to update? And if it is, I take all the data, move it to work areas, and then do the update line. Okay, and write out record has been updated. If it is not the action of update, it's the cancel. And if it's a cancel, I go to first page, where I can let them put in another ID that they want. So if I cancel, I just get out of here. So if I cancel and click that and say process, I just go back to asking for an ID. Okay. So if my action says to go ahead and update, then I will update. Else, I will go to first page. Okay. So that's how the update happens. Okay, so here is where I take in the data.
Okay, and you can see here I said, if not set action post, then I said, okay, take the ID that you put in and put it into $DivID. And then do a select. So select everything from drive test where the drive number is equal to the drive ID. If the select is successful, that the number of rows is greater than zero, okay, then I am fetching the information from the array and I'm taking the first field and making it the drive number, the next field and making it the drive name, the next field and making it, etc. So I'm taking and putting all those fields in there.
Okay. Then once I have put all those fields in there, I am doing a print where I am displaying them. So I'm displaying and taking and saying,
on the form, this is my form, on the form, I'm putting all of these things onto the form. Okay?
So I'm putting all of these things onto the form. And then when I put all those things onto the form, I also save the drive number as the real ID. Okay, so I'm saving the drive number as the real ID. They put in the drive number, I'm saving it as the real ID. And all the rest of it has been displayed. Okay, and when I display it, I've also got the radio button that says update and the radio button that says cancel. And remember, when you're dealing with radio buttons, you give it a name, and the name is action. And then I am telling it it's a radio button, name is action, and this one has update, this one has canceled. Okay. And so I am saying, okay, hit the process and take that drive number and make it the real ID. Okay, so we had two steps here to get the data out. I put in the drive number that I want, and I say submit query. And the first step, did a select, got the information, and put it into work areas. And then the print actually displayed the record up here. So the print actually displayed it. Okay, so I had two steps. I had to select the right record and get the data from that record. And then I had to take and put it up onto the screen. Okay, so that I did with the print. And the print, with the record, I didn't have to put all of the stuff in. I just put that in to show you that I could. But the print puts the record up there. Okay. And you can see the H1 that says record update. And then the form starts after that. And I have all of the fields. And I have the two radio buttons that let me select, and then I can say process. And so I hit process. So it's a two-step thing here, in that I put out the drive ID, I had them take in the drive ID. Now I'm saying go find the record with that drive ID, get the data and store it, and now display it. Okay. So I'm storing the data, and then I'm displaying the data. Okay. Now I've stored it, I've displayed it, and I've said I want to update. So I'm going to change that to 7 and say I want to update and I want to process. So I've said I wanted to update. Okay. That happens down here where I check and see if the post is update. Okay. Then I use the real ID to make sure that somebody didn't change the ID. I probably on the form could have made the ID such that they couldn't change it. But I use the real ID just to make sure somebody hasn't changed it when they were doing the changes. Okay, you're doing an update. You don't want them to change the, you brought up the record. You don't want them to change the ID. Because the ID is the key. And if they change the ID, then things are messed up. Okay? So, when I put up the thing, I save the drive number as the real ID. I took the drive number and made it the real ID. So now when I go to update, I'm saying, okay, use the real ID as opposed to the ID that might be wrong. And then take the drive name, drive tag, last year, this year, and then do an update. Okay? And then I come back, and as long as the update was successful, I will drop down and say, this record has been updated, and I show the ID number for the real ID, because that's the one that I truly updated. Okay. So if I put in, I actually haven't tried this, we'll see what happens, or I haven't tried it recently. If I tried, and I'm going to make it 8 now, and I hit update, and I say process, it says record 3 has been updated. So even though I changed the ID, it said, yeah, right. And it just totally ignored me. And the 300, if I put in the 300 again and submit query, it's got the 8,000. So it actually did the update on the real ID. Even though I changed the ID up here, it just said, yeah, right, and ignored it. Okay, and that's what you want it to do, because you've retrieved the record you want to update. They can't change their mind at this point, except they can cancel and then put in the ID they really meant to get. Okay. Questions on this. Those are the two that are the two parts that are retrieving the data. Yeah.
So let's see if the drive number is correct. First step there. Then that's correct.
If it's successfully able to retrieve the record. So it goes in and gets the drive number. If at the beginning I put in drive number 500. Whoops, that's not what I want. I want to cancel out of this. Okay, if I put in drive 500, it comes back and says record 500 does not exist. Okay, and it got that there, right there.
This is the line. So if it didn't do all of this, then it says record and gives you the drive ID you put in does not exist. Okay, so 500 didn't exist.
Once I have retrieved the record, if it does exist, so I put in 200 and I retrieve the record. Once I retrieve the record, they can't change the drive ID because that's the primary key. And that's what the record is identified by. So they can change anything else, but they can't change the ID. So what do I do to make sure that they don't change the ID? When I put it up there, I take the drive number that I'm dealing with before I let them change it, and I save it in Real ID. And from here on in, when I do the update, I use Real ID. I don't even update that. But when I'm displaying it, I use Real ID. The update itself actually just doesn't even change the ID of the record that I've got. Because if you look at the update itself, it says update drive test, set drive name equals set, I'm saying set the drive name and the drive chair and all of the rest of those. Okay, so I'm not even changing the drive ID. Okay. And I have to be very careful of that. Because again, it's the primary key. So in the update, I don't even consider it. I don't even change it. I've retrieved the record, I don't even consider it. Yeah, Lindsay.
So technically, you wouldn't have to put that in the output box. You could put that just on the page somehow. The drive number?
Yes.
Okay. So that would probably be the best way to do it.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I like seeing when the record comes up,
yeah.
I want to see the drive.
Yeah.
Probably it doesn't. Okay. Since I basically double insured myself down here by using the drive, not updating the drive ID.
Okay.
So you're right. Maybe I was overkilling there.
Well, I mean, it looks uniform. It looks good.
Right.
You know, they can't change it. They can think they can change it. But
okay, questions more on this one. Okay. Thursday, we're going to look at a version of this that allows inserts and deletes. And it's the one when you download it that says 3. Okay? And then your assignment is going to be to come up with some file that you have and do an update on it, following this model or following any model you want. You can find a model on the web that you like better. But I'm going to give you an assignment that says you have to write an update. And I would suggest, if you understand this model is probably the one to follow, or the one that we're going to go over on Thursday is probably the one to follow. But there are loads of models out there. And if you want to go do research and find something else you like better, you can do it. Okay, the big thing is that you're going to have to do the update using only one program. So I don't want anything coming in from other sources. All the code has to be in one program. Questions? Okay. I don't want to start the other one with 5 minutes to go, so we are all set. Questions? Then we're done. Okay, next week, I told you there was a reason I was teaching a hybrid course. I have to take a week off to be a grandmother when school holidays happen. So I'm not coming in next week. And that actually works out very well for you because there's going to be open labs in here, so this room will be an open lab. Lindsay's going to be here from 9:30 to 3:00, and so basically it's an open lab, and we can work with each other and get caught up and all that good stuff. So next week is the week to get caught up, and so we're going to, I may ask you to look at something and do some stuff, but it's going to be a late week next week. Okay? So, the classes are, quote, online, except that we also have an open lab, so I would suggest you come to the open lab if you've got problems. Lindsay's pretty caught up, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
So that means she's going to be fighting with this one, too, but she can help you with anything that is from the past because she's pretty caught up. Okay? All righty, we're done.